Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is episode number 103. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you who are new to the show, I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience and exposure to help people start and run co-working spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. Today, my guest is Jason Anderson, recently named president of VentureX, which is one of the fastest growing premium shared workspace concepts in the country. Before I dive into his detailed intro and my conversation with him, I want to touch on why I wanted to cover this topic and invite him on the show. Unless you are one of the top five brands in co-working, if you're just starting out, you are essentially a small business. You may have your own dreams to scale and to build a national brand. But if you are in the segment of people that find the industry really compelling and you want to nail the model and make a great lifestyle business for yourself, then A, participating in my co-working startup school, details to come soon, I promise, or B, joining a franchise family can be a great approach to getting extensive ongoing support for your business, including a built-in community of operators supporting the same brand and oftentimes a higher chance of exit success and valuation. And I don't say that just as a commercial for franchising because Jason is my guest today. I truly believe there's a lot of value in the model, especially in a business like ours. So I just wanted to add that in. If you're interested in the franchise model, which we're talking about today, also make sure to listen to episode number 79 with Kyle Kuhlbroth from another co-working franchise brand, Fueled Collective. Now on to a great conversation with Jason Anderson of VentureX. Welcome. Today, my guest is Jason Anderson, recently named president of VentureX, which is one of the fastest growing premium shared workspace concepts in the country and uniquely is franchisable. So I'm super excited to talk to Jason today to learn more about his background, about the VentureX brand, the franchise model, and what Jason has in store for VentureX. So prior to joining the shared workspace community, he was the chief technology officer and director of franchise development for United Franchise Group. Jason, thank you for joining us today. I'm looking forward to our conversation and sharing more with our audience about your background and VentureX.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jamie, for having me on.
Yeah. So are you in West Palm Beach today?
I am. I've actually been on the road for the last 3 weeks, but I am stationary here in West Palm Beach today.
Got it. Right. Serious travel role out meeting prospective franchisees. And I assume you attend grand openings and all the festivities.
All of the above. Yes.
Yeah. Good. So I just have to stick this in before we get started with your background. I have been to the VentureX location in Plano, Texas, and I love the concept, and I know they've done really well in that marketplace and sort of high-end design and attracting corporate clients and Gensler Design, Herman Miller Furniture. Your brand does some things that are, you know, sort of on the boutique end and, you know, the higher end of what we see in co-working today. So I'm looking forward to learning more about the brand and your role. But so just to kind of, you know, sort of give us some context here, tell us about your background and, you know, a little bit about you personally and, you know, your co-working journey. What led you to take this role?
Absolutely. Well, I'll give you kind of the shortened version of my background and history per se, but I was born in Rochester, New York as the youngest of nine, and I joined the military when I was 17 years old with a plan on doing 20 years in the service, but ended up being active duty stationed in England when I was 18 years old, and 5 months later, the planes hit the towers on 9/11. So really, that kind of is catalyst of my transition out of the military. So I spent 5 years active duty, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I got to live in another country at 18 years old, which was a blast. I learned a lot of real life scenarios and circumstances that have helped me vastly in the business world. I opened up my first business right out of the military. Long story short is I sold that business and moved to Dallas, Texas. And in 2007, at another very opportune time, I got into real estate a year before the crash. So I joined the military a year before 9/11 and got into real estate a year before the crash. But I kind of tell people that my life has really been just kind of a series of fortunate events. And again, I was at the right place, right time. That real estate career started with me trying to just buy my own house. And fast forward 4 years later, I had close to 200 agents in Dallas and 3 offices. And I would consider myself to have been an early adopter of the co-working industry because I got my first co-working space in 2008. I really kind of consider that time co-working 1.0.
Yep.
And really nobody really understood what co-working was. They thought I owned the building, thought I paid the receptionist. Are these all my employees that work here? Like nobody really understood what was happening. And it was somewhat frowned upon, I think, by other large kind of scale players at the time that really just did not understand the co-working space. Some of my claims to fame is how I got into franchising is after kind of successfully having my real estate business, I quickly realized that managing 200 agents was a more than a full-time job, right? I mean, I had 3 offices and 200 agents. And I looked around and saw Keller Williams had 20,000, had 20,000, and I could not comprehend how they managed such a large infrastructure. Well, the only thing they all had in common is they were franchises. Mm. So that led me down the path of looking to franchise my real estate business. So no clue what I was doing, called up a few attorneys at that time, franchised my business. And within 90 days, I had a competitor, locally publicly traded company, make an offer to buy out my franchise company. So at, you know, a pretty young age, I was 28 at the time, I franchised and sold my business. And I was fortunate that year to make the cover of Realtor Magazine as one of the top 30 brokers in the nation. I made the Dallas Business Journal for the Minority Business Leader Awards. And then ultimately, I made the first edition of the Forbes 30 Under 30 when I sold the business. So within a 6-month window, I was on the cover of Realtor Magazine. I did the reality TV show, My First Home. I did the casting for Million Dollar Listing Dallas, which never got picked up. So I still have those demo reel and tape. And really, I thought for 100% sure I would still be in real estate at this time, but I sold it and signed a non-compete.
Okay.
And my background from that point was real estate, technology, sales, and marketing. And I came across United Franchise Group about 8 years ago, and I became a regional developer for one of their franchise brands. So that got me into the United Franchise Group umbrella. So I helped franchise my own business, helped launch a few of the United Franchise Group brands. I moved to California, became a real estate broker in California for United Franchise Group, working out of a co-working space in California at what I would call co-working 2.0 at this point. The WeWorks of the world existed. And then I was in all the original meetings between United Franchise Group and the original founders of VentureX, so developing the model and the concept. So I've really been at the advent of franchising, co-working, what I call 1.0, which is probably 2008, co-working 2.0, the advent of really WeWork expanding the model, and was in all the initial meetings with VentureX becoming a franchise. That's how I ended up here.
And now here you are. So you talk about 1.0 and 2.0. I'm a little bit curious, A, what do you think 3.0 will be? And what excites you about the shared workspace industry?
Well, I'm definitely a facts and figures person. And I kind of saw, you know, your background and experience as well, looking at spreadsheets and data. And what I found is with any kind of new industry, you really have to sometimes look outside of the industry to get case studies. And what I mean by that is I think Regis did a great job at establishing co-working as a mainstream business model, right? I mean, you just cannot knock the fact of how big they've come and how relevant they've been to the co-working industry. But having been a Regis tenant, I don't like to speak negatively of really any companies, but I know there's entire websites dedicated to tenants that have a bad...
I may or may not occasionally mention that on tours.
So yes, I mean, I definitely have been a supporter of some of those websites, and I think they just went around the business and customer service side of it wrong. Yeah. And their kind of initial model was co-working 1.0. I feel WeWork is very similar to Tesla, right? Tesla did not invent the electric car, but they made it cool, right?
Yeah.
They had better technology, better sales process, hipper environment, and made it mainstream. So I put Tesla and WeWork kind of in the exact same category. Now, though, I think with WeWork being 2.0, I feel they made very little mistakes. I think they've almost nailed absolutely everything they've ever done, from their veterans programs and initiatives. The one mistake I think they made is typecasting their tenants. I kind of joke, right? I mean, I'm a Seinfeld avid watcher. I can't imagine, I can't watch any show that has any character from Seinfeld in it, because they're just whoever they were in Seinfeld to me. And I think WeWork targeted such a hipster crowd with the free beer and the party kind of environment that they've really stereotyped themselves as that Series A kind of startup foundational kind of co-working space. And what I believe co-working 3.0 to be is really the advent of pro-working. It's taking all the traditional amenities you would have in a traditional Class A kind of modern high-end space and combining it with all the base functionality and technology that WeWork put into it, and with the flexibility that Regus developed. So I think it's really just an improvement upon the processes, very similar to now. I think you see other auto manufacturers are going to make better electric vehicles than Tesla. I was really close to getting one until I saw the prototypes of the Porsche and the new Audi vehicle that are coming out. So I kind of like to think of VentureX as being that Porsche or kind of next development of an improvement upon their systems and processes, really just a grown-up version, professional atmosphere of co-working 2.0.
Yeah. So I want to unpack the franchise model, but let's talk about the brand, since that's kind of where you're going with the 3.0. I love the term pro-working. What makes VentureX different in the marketplace and kind of where is it positioned?
You know, that's a good question. I think that's the same question every co-working space asks themselves.
Or should, right?
Or should. Yeah. I think everybody has their spin. And one of the unique aspects of being backed by a larger organization like United Franchise Group is we have had the capacity to hire what probably individual co-working spaces could have never afford to do.
Yeah.
We brought in Gensler, which if you haven't ever been to Gensler.com, really doesn't mean anything. But if you see that they built the largest building in Shanghai, the Frisco Star outside of Dallas, and see the facilities, they worked with Facebook and NVIDIA into it. So we really brought in one of the top architectural firms in the world. Also, most websites you see about starting a co-working space, you're kind of starting with IKEA level furniture, 4-foot desk, where we went with Herman Miller. You know, our chairs cost as much as some offices, some of the co-working spaces. And that makes a difference if you're working out of that office 6 to 8, you know, 10 hours a day, yeah. You're actually putting in a full day's work.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is we also consulted with several Madison Avenue level branding and marketing companies. And I don't want to mention them by name because some of them we did work with, some of them we didn't. But I actually have a report back of every tagline that every co-working space of size has put together. And the truth is they're all saying the same thing in a different way, right? They all kind of have their unique spin. I mean, you get into the super niche markets of, you know, minority, women-only, entrepreneur and co-working spaces. But when you get down to the functional details of what makes us different, is we're a modern professional co-working space. We have virtual community, shared and private offices. But I think we're really for the entrepreneur and professional that wants to have their cake and eat it too. I mean, because we're really blending all of the high-end amenities you would get in a traditional office standard setting with all the perks and flexibility of traditional co-working. So that's kind of our pitch line. But more foundationally, is we got Herman Miller furniture, right? And I tell people, go get a day pass or a week pass at a WeWork and sit, you know, their location, then come sit in ours for a day or two. A lot of co-working spaces chose to go with 4-foot desks. We have 6-foot desks. So in our typical office, we have one or two less people than you would find. So you literally have more room.
Yeah.
90% of our locations have floor-to-ceiling windows, 360, like the Plano location you looked at, with soundproofing between the walls. So where a lot of WeWorks are enclosed. I mean, you literally have zero natural light. We're literally putting less people per office. We're giving bigger office spaces where I've seen some blogs, you know, they're going at 60 and 80 square foot offices where our office would have been 130 to 150. The other big thing that WeWork can never replicate is us having local entrepreneurs like the tenants running the spaces. Case in point, you actually went to Plano. Mm-hmm. The owner of that is a multi-brand franchisee. He owns other high-level brands.
Yeah.
We have a tenant that shopped Common Desk, shopped WeWork. For all the things I mentioned, bigger desk, more natural light, he came into VentureX. More importantly, he's doubled his business because of the relationship with the owner of that VentureX, meaning that owner has introduced him to every other existing owner in VentureX, and he signed them as a client. I flew to Plano and met with him, and he's now going to be a service for all of our franchisees moving forward. Plus, he's then coming down to meet with United Franchise Group to possibly be a resource or service to our other 1,500 franchisees. So from him having selected that, not only did he get a better space, better natural light, bigger desk.
Better chair.
Better chair. He literally has 10x'd his business from working with another entrepreneur. So I think it's those kind of key foundational things that make us unique.
That's a great case study and also just a great example of you being super committed to a segment of the market, and everything you're doing just lines up against it. And when your potential members come visit, they just know it's the right place for them. I think, you know, that's sort of the goal of anybody who's positioning a brand. You know who your people are, and when they see you, they know that that's the place for them. So it's a good place to be in. So let's talk about the franchise model, if you don't mind, because I know my audience is probably fairly unfamiliar with how does that work in our industry. Can you just kind of talk about sort of tactically, you know, how does it work and what are the benefits? What would draw an entrepreneur to the franchise model?
Well, good question. I mean, kind of for that, I'll do maybe a franchise 101, because I think that helps really simplify what the industry is. And I've actually written a book on the topic from having my business, and it's called How to Franchise Your Business. And I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs in franchising their concepts. I feel franchising is the biggest industry people never talk about, right? What I mean by that is it probably accounts for anywhere between 20 to 30% of the American GDP. You really can't go a day without dealing with the franchise. Gas stations, hotels, car dealerships, almost every ship and mail place, all janitorial services, all the hotel chains, everything, just on and on down the list is a franchise. Chick-fil-A, all the fast food restaurants on a national basis. So point being is franchising already dominates every industry that it's in. Simply put, even if you can make a better burger or sandwich than McDonald's or Subway, you can't beat their systems, processes, and pooled branding power and capacity. And already in this industry, other people's money already dominates it. What I mean by that is as a mom and pop co-working individual, you could be successful. You could run a small or a large scale localized business. Now, if you try to expand that beyond, it's almost virtually impossible from a time capacity. So even if you have unlimited resources, who's going to manage your location three states away, right? And would you rather put all of your money into it, take 100% risk, or allow somebody else to come in and have a vested interest in that success of the business? Keep in mind, the largest player in the space already has investors' money, Regis, and they launched a franchise, right? And then the second largest space, so Regis owns Regis and Spaces, which is a franchise opportunity. So a lot of people don't know. They don't heavily market it, but it is a franchise. They pretty much only pool the existing pool of investors that they have. WeWork is not publicly traded, but also backed by other people's money. SoftBank put in the money, which also small individual entrepreneurs never will have the capacity to do. You probably can't replicate that model. So already speaking, both of the largest players in the industry use other people's money to grow because they want other people to have a vested interest. So the truth is the industry is already dominated by investor pooled money or franchises, even though the mom and pops independently probably make up more spaces.
Right.
They can't pull the resources and effort together. So with that, what a franchise is, very simply put, is we've created a turnkey solution to try to help somebody get involved with this business. So all we get as the franchisor is an initial franchise fee. And in turn for that initial franchise fee, we give them the entire business in a box, right? So our franchise fee is $79,500. If you could imagine building a $1 to $2 million to $3 million to some of our locations, $5 to $10 million facility, and I'll send you some of our flagship stores, 79,500 to not make mistakes, understand the ins and outs of the spacing, have a full-blown real estate company, financial modeling, a brand name, a website, 2 weeks training, and then about 20 weeks of on-site setup support for the first 2 years and ongoing is an absolute no-brainer. Typically, we help them recoup that entire initial investment just by our lease negotiation skills and tenant improvements for the build out. I mean, we've had some of our locations get a year free rent on $80,000 a month rents. And we've had some of them, you know, get $1 million in tenant improvements because of our backing and feedback. So dollar for dollar, they'd get 20-fold what that initial fee is. So, you know, part one, you pay a franchise fee and we give you everything we've seen and known and we've learned, a complete support system, website, all the things you would have to build and develop on your own. Plus you become part of a network that has immediate reciprocity that you can't replicate as an independent owner.
Thing I would just point out there, every location is invested in the success of the other location.
100%.
Right. So,
and the growth of the brand helps your investment because as areas and territories sell out, we'll have 6 in Dallas by the end of next month, right? So having to try to build 6 locations in one city as an independent owner operator is very unfeasible. And then managing and supporting that would take millions and millions and millions of dollars. And you would be 100% dependent on hired employees to run and manage those that have no vested interest. Hence, SoftBank's pullout of WeWork, because they're quickly realizing that you got hired help running these locations and now franchisors are becoming popular with people that have millions of dollars of vested interest to run them. So they pay us a franchise fee. That's the first thing. That's a flat fee and they get all the resources they need, unlimited support, in-house training, consulting resources, all the support setup services, a website, branding, marketing material, POS systems, the whole nine, real estate, construction, everything. The products, the services, the space design, the layout, everything you need to open up the space. Now, the only other fee they pay is a royalty. And this is usually what most entrepreneurs, and including myself, can't comprehend about franchising. Why in the world would you pay somebody a fee to run the business? Well, I go back to the same McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, car dealerships. Having somebody there that has a vested interest in your support. So keep in mind, the franchise fee is all they pay us up front. We don't make another penny unless the franchisee actually makes money. So our royalties come off their revenue, and that's 6%. So as long as we could show 7% worth of value, meaning that because of our resources, our size, our scope, our branding, our marketing, our PR, we're helping them do 7% more revenue than they would have did on their own, the royalty pays for itself. So it's kind of like I said, you can make a better sandwich than McDonald's, but would it be worth 5% of your revenue, 6% of your revenue to have McDonald's on the front of your building and their systems, their power, their resources, their marketing? So the truth is, it is an absolute no-brainer for most of our locations.
You'd have to be making a bet that you could do 6% better on your own without every single piece of support and ongoing.
Yeah. So you would have to build a website, build a location. You'd have one location, no reciprocity. And the truth is, on the secondary market, so we also tell people, what's your exit strategy? Right. So let's say you start mom and pop co-working.
Yeah.
Well, if you're running that day to day, when you look to sell that, chances are people don't want, you know, Jamie's co-working space. They want a proven system, model, and brand, because their concern is once you leave, you're the business. With us, really doesn't matter. You have a much more sellable asset because it's a brand name. Same way you don't care about Yelp reviews or who owns the local McDonald's, Subway, or Chick-fil-A. You just go. You don't care that it's under new management when you check into the Marriott because it's Marriott. You're doing business with the brand. So the truth is, even the exit strategy is more feasible. Case in point, why we've had several locations convert. We do offer a conversion process and a program. Our Richardson location is a conversion of an existing co-working space that converted to become a VentureX because of the built-in reciprocity and the increased sellability of their location as a franchise brand versus mom and pop.
So the exit strategy was on my follow-up list. How about scaling? So for some operators, one location may be a good lifestyle business, but talk about somebody who wants to build kind of a bigger business. How does that work?
Unlimited capacity, right? So several of our owners already own 3 or 4 locations.
Okay.
So they have the ability to continue to buy additional locations. Now that we have 21 open, 60 sold, and we're in 18 countries. So we have 21 that will be open by the end of Q1 with construction complete dates. 63 exactly as of today have been sold in agreements in 18 separate countries. So This year, we're probably expecting to sign 100, which sounds ridiculous, but several of those.
Sounds like a lot of work for 40, your team.
40 of those pending right now are with 3 groups.
Okay.
One group's looking at 15, another group's looking at another 15, another group's looking at 10. And with that, they'll have a development schedule, right? So those won't all open at the same time, but in franchising, you get a multi-unit development agreement. So we have several of those pending, not only domestically, but internationally, where the people are signing on. And these are large investment groups, construction companies, private equity firms. We've even had, you know, several large landlords come to us looking for a managed service solution.
Yeah.
And the brand name, the immediate reciprocity, having somebody with a vested interest run it, works a lot better for them than just leasing space to WeWork, because they could be, you know, a joint partner and, you know, grow with the brand versus just leasing out the space. So short answer to your question is we have very viable options for you to become a multi-unit development partner.
Makes sense. So you can kind of scale from lifestyle business to much bigger investment if you want to.
Absolutely.
If you want to really scale. Yeah. So you speak really favorably about the opportunities in the industry. What has surprised you about the shared workspace industry now that you're really ingrained?
2 big things really stand out. One is really the technology side of it. The fact that, you know, the 2 biggest players like Regus and WeWork have really developed their own platforms. I was really surprised how initially weak the software systems and technology was for, you know, like your independent owner operator. There's a lot of cool, slick looking CRM systems and POS systems. And I guess the term is workspace management software, WMS. But very few of them had a full kind of enterprise level integration for a brand like us that was growing at, you know, not looking to do 1 location or 2, but we're like, hey, we need a system that works internationally today for 50 locations worldwide. How few of those companies even said they would attempt to do that, right? I mean, we really had to narrow it down to 1 company. I mean, and I can or can't mention the name depending upon if you want me to, but I had to narrow that down to 1 company that we found that had an actual domestic and international presence that said they could do the hardware side.
Yep.
So all of the internet connection equipment and that, talked with and spoke to the software side on an enterprise level. That was the first thing that really blew my mind, is as big and how fast industry is growing, how few people were in it. And I think, you know, several of the software companies are catching up. You know, I'm seeing and getting emails now that, hey, we say we could do that. Do you want to be the first one to try it out, type of thing? So definitely the lack of thought out, fully integrated enterprise level hardware, software, complete management systems existed. That was the first thing. The second thing that I think is kind of funny and unique a little bit is how easy it is currently to be a consultant in the industry. Meaning that, you know, I've came across websites, you know, that are showing up in Google for guys that worked at WeWork for 6 months and now they're go-to consultants in the co-working industry. You know, we're employed for, you know, 90 days at a location, and that makes them in the top 10% of industry knowledge. Right. So I think that's been another kind of unique aspect that I think, you know, openly before this call, I had found your tools and tech guide report that you and your company put together. And I really didn't connect the dots that you were who I was talking to probably yesterday, that I had already kind of seen your website as a resource online just in my fact finding. But I think daily now you're having more companies publish reports, details, case studies, which I think is going to make the industry vastly better as we go on. So those are really the 2 things, the technology side and really the fragmented consulting sector that has kind of been created by default, I feel, in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, I think it might be one of those unique, and this might, you know, in 5 years, when you talk about your backstory, you might add this as a unique time and place. I mean, your initial move into real estate in 2007, I think probably your timing in this industry is similarly a bit unique and early, you know, with the workspace management platform. I tell people that all the time. You know, the industry is still newer. Just to your point, the Regises and the sort of the bigger players historically have developed their own. So we're talking like the last, you know, 7 years, where when I started, there was no software.
Sure.
You know? Absolutely. Right. So it's all new, and software takes a long time to, you know, to make better. So it's an interesting time, to your point. You have brands like you that are growing and looking to scale, and the support systems, you know, may need to catch up a little bit. So
I agree. I think this is, like I said, I kind of joke and feel like my life's been a series of fortunate events and kind of right place, right time, that this is the absolute best time, I feel, to get started in co-working. Because I think the industry has been proven enough that you can have third-party validation to point to and say, hey, look, they've done this right, they've done that right, but still enough room to grow. And, you know, with IBM, you know, building headquarters with WeWorks of the world, and, you know, the fact that WeWork has on their home screen, would you like a virtual membership or a headquarter in the same dropdown, I think really shows
right
where the industry is going. Like, I look at things like that and 100% realize that 5 years ago, if you would have said companies would be moving entire headquarters into managed service spaces, nobody would have believed that. And that's the point that we're at. I think traditional office space for the average small to medium-sized business is going to be like the fax machine, right? And to email. Some people will still have them, but almost irrelevant, I feel, in the next 10 years.
It's an exciting time. So tell us, if somebody wants to learn more about VentureX and the franchising opportunity, how do they do that?
Well, we do have a completely separate website, venturexfranchise.com. More than happy to email me directly at jason@venturex.com. We have director of sales for the franchise, but we also have 40 full-time regional representatives across the United States. Meaning, if somebody were to email me today about an interest, we have an office already in Denver, and say, hey, I'm interested in opening up a co-working space in Denver, I can have somebody sit down with them within 24 to 48 hours, because we have people in 40 major markets and cities to speak with them specifically about becoming a potential franchisee. So no obligation up front. Our process is pretty simple. We lay out all of the information. One of the benefits of franchising is we're required by law to provide them a franchise disclosure document, which is the equivalent of a prospectus for a publicly traded company. They have to actually have that document for 15 days legally before they could ever pay us a deposit or sign any type of agreement. But even at that 15 days, we won't allow somebody to buy it. We make them put down a fully refundable deposit. We start working with them on finance, site selection, blueprints, floor plans, and we actually build out a blueprint and the floor plan of the space that they could see, touch, and feel before they ever have to sign and commit, and it's all fully refundable up until that point. So like I said, they could simply reach out through venturexfranchise.com, email me directly at jason@venturex.com, and I'll guide them to one of our 40 regional development directors. That's just the United States. We do have office in Australia, Canada, Middle East, North Africa, UK, and essentially every industrialized country if somebody was interested in international development as well.
Excellent. Perfect. I will put all those details in the show notes too if somebody's driving and needs to reference those. Jason, thank you so much for your time today and sharing the background of you and VentureX and your perspective on the industry. It's always interesting to hear. And certainly you are very optimistic about what is to come. So we look forward to following VentureX into the future.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.